This was not how it was supposed to be. Martha's first words to Jesus when she came out to meet him had been, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And now, as Mary kneels at Jesus' feet, she says the same thing as her very first words, her greeting. "Lord, if you had been here." And surely Jesus could hear just as well as we can the words that she doesn't say. "Why weren't you here? We sent for you in plenty of time. You know that we believe in you. We know what you can do. You were supposed to heal him. You were supposed to make everything all right. He wasn't supposed to die. He wasn't supposed to be like this." I have a lot of sympathy for Mary and Martha. I've seen God do amazing things. I know that God can do amazing things. But there are plenty of times that I don't understand God's choices. There are plenty of times I want to ask, "Why? Why didn't you act in this situation? I know you could have. I know you could have changed that. Why did Ethel and Norm have to die in the middle of the pandemic when they had gone so long without visits from the people that they loved? They were, both of them, such social people. And yes, they were old, but to die in such a lonely way. And why did Alan have to die? He was so strong still, so active and involved, contributing in so many ways. I'll admit I'm still wrestling over Brian Hanna. And why did Diane have to die? She was fascinating, a beautiful person. I was just getting to know her. And why Joaquin? And why Jan Carr? And why Joanne? And why Eric? Why? I know we all have to die sometime, but why now? It's been nearly 2 years of whys. Not just the deaths, the really significant losses in our church community and in our larger community, in our families, among our friends. But the pandemic, this seemingly endless, strange time when all our familiar routines are disrupted, when we're separated from each other, separated from family members, separated from our usual gatherings. And even when we do gather, we're still oddly disconnected. I don't know about you, but it just doesn't feel the same to me when I gather with friends and we all have to stay 6 feet apart and wear masks. And you can't see anybody's expression and you can't touch anybody. It just feels strange. Nothing feels normal. Nothing feels right. And we're grieving and we're worried and we're angry. And we're just plain tired of it all, ready for this to be over. So much has changed in our everyday lives, and at church, too. I think most of you know that even before the pandemic, church attendance nationwide had been dropping for decades. And now we wonder, will church ever be normal again? Can we recover from this? Once the pandemic is over and we begin to meet again, will people come back? Will people still want to gather for worship? Or will everyone be so in the habit of live streaming with its convenience and ease that people just prefer to worship at home in their PJs whenever works for them in their schedule? Will many people just fall out of the church habit altogether, drifting away? Those are questions that I've wondered about, not just myself, but I've heard them from people in the congregation. And I'll admit that there are times when I feel like Mary and Martha. Lord, if you had been here, if you had just handled everything the way I had in mind, none of this needed to happen. You could have healed the situation. John tells us that when Jesus saw the crowd's grief, and especially Mary's grief, he began to weep. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha. He knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He'd told his disciples that days before. But he also knew that his decision to wait and let Lazarus die instead of healing him had caused the wild mix of emotions that was overwhelming his friends now. And he grieved with and for them. And then he came to the tomb. "Take away the stone." And Martha's response is immediate. "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. There's a stench." Jesus replies, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And they do get to see it. Lazarus comes forth, a walking, talking miracle. And Jesus commands them, "Unbind him and let him go." They have to free him from the limits they've placed on him, from their expectation that he would never rise again. They have to cut him loose so that he can live his new life and tell a resurrection story. Jesus comes to us too in our places of grief and pain. He comes to our tombs, to the places we have set aside to remember all that we have lost. And he says, "Take away the stone." Like Martha, our response is immediate. "Lord, that stuff's dead. There's a stench. What's done is done. There's no point in messing with it now." And Jesus reminds us that he has promised to show us the glory of God. That sometimes when what we had in mind was healing, what he had in mind was resurrection. But without death, there can be no resurrection. The old has to die for the new to come. Without an ending, we can't have a new beginning. Right now, I think that many of us are with Mary and Martha in the in-between time. We're in the weeping time, grieving our losses, not knowing how we can go on. Our familiar world has ended, and we can't even imagine what the future will be. And Jesus meets us where we are. He walks with us in our grief and pain. He doesn't blame us for our questions, spoken and unspoken. He gives us space to ask them. He doesn't scold us for weeping. Instead, he joins with us. He feels the cost of letting go of what we love. But still, he asks us to trust him, that he can bring life even out of death. If we believe, he tells us, we will see the glory of God. God invites us to let go of the limits that we place on what God can do, to let go of our expectations of what is possible, of the way that we think that things should be done. God invites us to let our lives tell a resurrection story. Behold, God says, I am making all things new. Amen.